whereas he obeyed the Lord, then he can say, I, being in the way, the Lord led me. Now, but in light of what Jonah declared, okay, in verse 9, where at the end of it he says, salvation is of the Lord. Okay, in light of what Jonah declared, now we want to consider a very important aspect of God's will. And that is the decretive will of God. Now, Reverend Timothy Toh, in fact, calls this aspect of God's will the most wonderful part of God's will. Okay, the most wonderful aspect of God's will. Now, the decretive will of God is also the most mysterious. Because there are many things concerning the decretive will of God that we are unable to understand. So why then did Reverend Timothy Toh say that this is the most wonderful aspect of God's will? Now, one thing this teaches us, and one thing we realize is that just because you cannot understand something does not mean that it is good or wonderful. And what we see concerning the decretive will of God is that this is a doctrine that is clearly taught in God's word. And because it is clearly taught in God's word, it is very wonderful, especially when you are able to understand at least the parts concerning the decretive will which God has revealed to you. Okay, so this is what we are going to do this evening. We want to now understand, what does this statement mean, salvation is of the Lord? Now, what is it that when Jonah said salvation of the Lord, what are its implications? Okay, what is the impact of it? Why is this statement, this phrase, so important? Salvation is of the Lord. Now, before we go on, I'd just like to explain the word itself. Okay, what is the meaning of a decree? So when we describe a decree, we are talking about a mandate. Oftentimes, it is a royal decree or a royal mandate. And this would be the command or an edict that is issued by a king. And it describes something that has been decided or determined, just simply by the king. Okay, so this is what a decree is. Now, when we apply this to the decretive will of God, we are talking about an aspect of God's will where he has foreordained and determined and decided everything which comes to pass, even before the foundation of the world, and he has decided all these things for his own glory and for his own purpose. So this is an aspect of God's will that will really glorify God. It will show how God is sovereign, how God is the ruler of all things. Okay, so the decretive will of God is really where God has decided and determined all things before the foundation of the world for his own glory. Okay, so keep this in mind. So if, you know, tomorrow your quiz, right, the teacher asks, what is the decretive will of God? So then what do you say? You say that it is what God has decided and determined before the foundation of the world for his own glory and his purpose. Of course, there is a more, I would say, precise definition that is in the Westminster Shorter Catechism. Yeah. And it's up to Deacon Milton whether he wants you to give the Westminster Shorter Catechism answer or not. Okay. So, you all should take note, right? Westminster Shorter Catechism, question number 7. Okay. And they ask, what are the decrees of God? And the answer is, the decrees of God are his eternal purpose, according to the counsel of his own will, whereby for his own glory he has foreordained whatsoever comes to pass. Okay, are you able to follow that? Okay, God's decrees are his eternal purpose according to the counsel of his own will, whereby for his own glory he has foreordained whatsoever comes to pass. Okay, so that is the decretive will of God. Sorry, still cannot catch it. So maybe you have to Google. Okay, what is the decree of God? Okay, the decrees of God are his eternal purpose according to the counsel of his own will, whereby for his own glory he hath foreordained whatsoever comes to pass. Okay, so that is the Westminster Shorter Catechism. Right, you all can Google later. Right, just Google Westminster Shorter Catechism, question number 7. Okay. But you must understand the meaning. Right? To put it simply, the decretive will of God is where God has decided and determined all things before the foundation of the world for His own glory according to His own purpose. Okay, that is the decretive will of God. Now, the decretive will of God is very humbling, because you realize that it does not involve you and me in the decision-making process. Okay? God just simply decides. God just simply determines. We do not contribute in any way in giving God advice, in giving suggestions. And God just simply determines according to His own purpose and His own will. And some Christians, because of this, they struggle to accept God's decretive will. They struggle to accept this because they often, right, we often approach this by human logic. We often approach this by human reasoning. Okay, and we claim and we even accuse God of being unfair. No, like, why would God choose someone who is so wicked and so cunning? In fact, later we are going to look at an example. Because when we study the decretive will of God, Apostle Paul used this example. The example of Esau and Jacob. Why did God say that Jacob have I loved and Esau have I hated? And when you look at the example of Jacob, he was not a good person. He was very manipulative, he was very scheming, he was plotting, he was lying. Why would God choose Jacob? And so it goes against our human mind, our human reason, and we find that it's very illogical. But this is one thing about the decretive will of God that we have to understand. It is a doctrine that we have to accept. It's a doctrine that will magnify God. It's a doctrine that will promote the glory of God. And it's a doctrine that ultimately we just simply have to accept and say that God is God and we are but men. God chooses to save whom He wills. It is God who determines. It is God who decides. Okay, so this is what we need to understand about the decretive will of God. And so what we're going to do this evening, now this is quite a deep doctrine, alright? But I'll try to make it very simple, you know, by way of various illustrations in the Bible. And these are the illustrations that the Apostle Paul has used himself, okay, to show us what is the decretive will of God. Okay, so this evening we just want to look at three things concerning the decretive will of God, right, based on some of these examples that I will show you. Okay, and so in going into these three things, these three thoughts, I would like you to first open to Romans chapter 9, okay, and look at what the Apostle Paul said here regarding the decretive will of God. Okay? So this evening you have to pay very careful attention. I mean, you have to pay attention, right, every message, but this evening you really have to concentrate, okay, and pay careful attention. Because I'll try to show you what is the decretive will of God. Okay, Romans chapter 9 and from verse 10 to verse 13. Okay, so now this is what the Apostle Paul says regarding God's decretive will. Romans chapter 9 and verse 10. Okay, now he says here, "And not only this, but when Rebekah also had conceived by one, even by our father Isaac, for the children being not yet born, neither have done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth. It was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger. As it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated." Okay, so now over here, take note. The Apostle Paul says that this was what the Lord said to Rebekah. And Rebekah was married to Isaac. And the Lord said, even when the children, okay, the two of them, Jacob and Esau, they were in the womb of Rebekah before they had done anything, the Lord had already told Rebekah, "The elder shall serve the younger." Now, who is the elder? Okay, come on. This one you should know, right? If even Nineveh, although Nineveh was a challenge, but Esau or Jacob, who was the old elder? Huh? Esau, okay. You all agree? Okay, Esau was the elder, alright? But now the Bible says the elder, that is Esau, will serve the younger. Why? Because God has given the promise of the covenant blessings to Jacob, who is the younger. And we see that being fulfilled in the example of Jacob and Esau, where finally the covenant promise was bestowed by Isaac upon Jacob, not Esau. Even though at first Jacob wanted to bestow it upon Esau, because he told Esau, you please get me venison, get me meat, and then I'll give you the blessing of the firstborn. But Jacob and Rebekah, even though they used their own deception and lies, it was already part of God's plan from the very beginning that the elder shall serve the younger. Okay, so one thing that you're going to see later on is that men, we cannot thwart or try to change, or a bit of a difficult word is they say frustrate. You cannot frustrate God's plan. And you are unable to undermine God's plan. And God has already promised and prophesied, even before the children were born, that the elder, that is Esau, will serve the younger, that is Jacob. So then now the question is, why? Why did God ordain such? Why did God ordain the elder to serve the younger? And God simply said, as it is written, Jacob have I loved, and Esau have I hated. Okay, so now I need you all to turn to two portions of scripture. Okay, but I will make reference to this first, and then after that I'll explain the three things I want us to look at. Okay, the phrase, Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated here, is found in Malachi chapter 1, verse 2. Okay, so turn to Malachi chapter 1, verse 2. Okay, so when the Apostle Paul says here, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated, it's based on Malachi chapter 1, verses 2 and 3. And the Bible here says, I have loved you, saith the Lord. Yet ye say, wherein hast thou loved us? Was not Esau Jacob's brother, saith the Lord? Yet I love Jacob. So here, there was a dialogue. Okay, there was a dialogue between God and his people. And God told the people, I have loved you. Now, of course, it is a very painful question. Okay, when God says, I have loved you, and then now the people says, wherein have you loved me? How have you shown your love to me? Okay, that's the question. Wherein hast thou loved us? Then God answered, was not Esau Jacob's brother, saith the Lord? Yet I loved Jacob. And in verse 3, I hated Esau and laid his mountains and his heritage waste for the dragons of the wilderness. Okay, so God simply answered the people, you are special to me simply because I have loved you. And look at how I have delivered you. Look at how I have made of you a great nation. But look at Esau, the Edomites. Okay, Esau, the descendants will be the Edomites. They have now become waste, a heritage waste for the dragons of the wilderness. Now, the dragons here will describe wild beasts. Okay, the wild beasts of the wilderness. And here, what the Lord is saying is that, don't you remember this promise that I made even in the time of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? And now, I have loved you. I have fulfilled this. And the Apostle Paul, in Romans chapter 9, was quoting this reference in Malachi. Jacob have I loved, and Esau have I hated. Okay, so now, in light of this, there are three things we are going to look at. God's decretive will is determined even before the foundation of the world. Okay, that's the first thing. God's decretive will is determined even before the foundation of the world. So earlier I said that there are two passages I'd like us to look at. One is in Malachi, and the other then would be the illustration itself. Okay, so turn now to Genesis chapter 25, and that's what we're going to spend a bit of time and focus our attention on. Okay, in Genesis chapter 25. Okay, Genesis chapter 25, and I'd like you all to first look at verses 23 and 24. Okay, God's decretive will is determined even before the foundation of the world. So in verse 23, the Bible says here, the Lord said unto her, two nations are in thy womb, and two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels, and the one people shall be stronger than the other people, and the elder shall serve the younger. So take note of this. Okay, the Lord already told Rebecca that the elder, that is Esau, shall serve the younger, that is Jacob. And in verse 24, when the days to be delivered were fulfilled, behold, there were twins in her womb. Okay, and then after that, these twins, they were born, and one was Jacob, and one was Esau. And now this is the truth here that was, you can say, the divine commentary was given to us in Romans chapter 9, okay, what we read earlier on, where the elder shall serve the younger. And the Apostle Paul used this example to say now that God has purposed, God has determined, God has decreed, even before both Esau and Jacob was born. And this is where we get this important doctrine, that God's decretive will is determined even before the foundation of the world. Now, this is also what Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 to 6 says. Okay, but you don't have to turn to this. But just take a note of this. In Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 to 6, there the Bible describes how God has foreordained, He has chosen us. Okay, in verse 4, the word is that He has chosen us before the foundation of the world. Okay, so now, what we need to understand regarding the decretive will is that God has determined and decided even before the foundation of the world. And this is very humbling. Because this means that when Jonah said salvation is of the Lord, that salvation is not through the works or through the merits of men. And this is a very humbling truth because it means that we have done nothing to earn salvation at all. Now, when we say that God has determined before the foundation of the world, please also do not misunderstand. Some people wrongly teach, okay, or wrongly explain that when God determined before the foundation of the world, it was because He knew before the foundation of the world that you would be a good person or you would be a bad person. Okay? But that is not the case at all. When God determines before the foundation of the world, it is independent of who we will be or of what we will become. It's not about how strong we are, how clever we are, how good we are. The only reason that the Bible has given to us as to why God has chosen us is simply because He has loved us. And the Bible does not give us any other detail as to the criteria that God used in deciding and determining how He chooses and who He will choose. And so when we think of how God has determined and decreed before the foundation of the world, it's not because He knew that we will be good. He knew that we will be clever. He knew that we would accept or receive Him. It's none of this. He has decided because He has determined to do so, according to His own good will. And this is very wonderful. Because now when you look at one another, when you look at each other, there are times when you may feel that, hey, that person is not deserving of salvation. Of course, that's very arrogant and that's very proud. Right? But sometimes, maybe subconsciously, we may betray that kind of feeling. Right? We say that person is not deserving of salvation. Or sometimes you may even look back at your own life and you feel, I'm not deserving of salvation. You know, why would God choose me? Why would God save me? And then this is where this wonderful theme comes in. Salvation is of the Lord. He chooses whomsoever He wills. He loves according to His own good pleasure. And before the foundation of the world, God has loved you. God has chosen you. God has saved you. You know, when you look at the example of Jacob and Esau, who would you choose? Okay, so now, from this first thought, it leads us to a second thought. Okay, so the first thought is that God has determined before the foundation of the world. And then the second thought that this then tells us is that God's decretive will is determined by God's choice. So God determines before the foundation of the world, before even Jacob and Esau, they were born. God has decided. Then the second thought then that we have now is that it's determined by God's choice. Many people have their own choices, but God has His own choice. Now if you were given this choice, who would you choose between Isaac and Esau. Not Isaac and Esau, Jacob and Esau. And between Jacob and Esau, who would you choose? Because you know that Isaac and Rebekah had their own choices. The Bible tells us that Isaac, he preferred Esau. Okay, which was why later on he wanted to bestow the blessing of the firstborn upon Esau. Okay, that is what you can read later on in Genesis chapter 27. And the Bible actually gives us the reason why Jacob loved Esau, or rather, sorry, Isaac loved Esau more was because he liked the meat which Esau cooked. Esau was a hunter. Okay, he was a very rough and rugged man. And now, Isaac, he enjoyed the venison which Esau brought from the field. And that was the reason why Isaac preferred Esau. So for some of you, do you all like to eat meat? Or are you all like vegetarians, you know, like vegan and things like that? Huh? Some of you like only eat vegetable. Yeah, I thought young people don't like vegetable. Okay, but you should also enjoy vegetable. But do you all like meat? So if you like meat, then you will like Esau, right? Because Esau will be able to always hunt. I mean, of course, you must remember in those days, it's not like us today. If you have craving for meat, you cannot just go to the supermarket and then just buy meat, right? You have to go out and hunt. Then maybe you get meat, maybe you won't get meat. Okay, so if you are craving for meat and then you want to eat meat now, you tell Jacob, I want to eat meat. Then he cannot hunt. Then he's useless. So Jacob is practically useless to Isaac, right? Then if you're hungry, you want meat, then how? Ask Esau. So Esau will go out and hunt, and he'll get meat for you. So if you are the father, you love meat, you would love Esau more than Jacob. Right? So Isaac had his choice, had his preference. He loved Esau. And then Rebekah had her preference. Okay, she preferred Jacob. And when you look at the example, I don't believe that it was because she was very conscious and aware of God's promise that the elder shall serve the younger. But she just simply had a preference to Jacob. So each of them had their own choice. And just like you, you may feel that you have a choice. You want to determine. You want to choose. But the Bible simply says that what matters is actually ultimately God's choice. You know, sometimes we actually betray our choice. Like when y'all go for evangelism or when y'all go for tracting. Okay? Have y'all gone for tracting or evangelism before? No, you have not gone for evangelism or tracting before. Okay? Then maybe y'all should go. If y'all go for tracking, you know what is tracking, right? What is tracting? Timo, what is tracting? Because I know you go for tracting. You go for tracking, right? Yeah. You don't go with your parents. Okay. What is tracting?
Evangelism.
Tracting is evangelism. Okay. I mean, yes. Right? Very same answer. Okay, but it's a more specific branch of evangelism. Okay? Evangelism means you preach the gospel. Okay, then tracting is where you use tracts. Okay, tracts are like pamphlets or, you know, booklets or some piece. I mean, you print out the gospel message on these little pamphlets, okay, that you would use to give to people, right? To hopefully use this as a way to also introduce the gospel, to start the conversation. Okay, so that is what tracting is. So when y'all go for tracting, if y'all go for tracting, and then do you sometimes choose who you give the tracts to? Because I remember when I look back when I was in the youth fellowship. So in the youth fellowship last time, we will always have during our YF camp. Okay, one day where we have evangelism as well. Then when I look back, I remember when I go for tracting, actually I would choose. Okay, subconsciously. Okay, when this person, he walks and then, oh, he looks like he will receive the tract. He looks like he would be receptive to the gospel. Maybe he dressed very neatly. Maybe he looks very friendly. Okay, then I'll feel safer, you know, like to give him the tract. But if there's someone who looks very fierce, right, and then he has like golden hair, okay, and then he looks very buff, okay, then also I see got tattoo, Then I'm very scared. Then I think that maybe this person most likely will reject. Okay, so I think I better avoid this, then maybe wait for the next person. So, but I also do not know how I come up with this criteria, but I just did, right? This person looks like he will be more receptive. Okay, this person looks like he will not be so receptive. You see, sometimes we just choose like that. But of course, we know that we are wrong. We are often wrong. Okay, the people who look very receptive may not be receptive, and the person who looks like he's going to reject may be very receptive. And in fact, we do not know. Oftentimes, we do not know. You give the track. You do not know how the person used the track. You do not know 1 week later, 1 month later, 1 year later, what will happen to that person. And that tells us how salvation is of the Lord. But you see how sometimes we are making our own choices. We are thinking who should be saved, who should not be saved. And also sometimes we make these kind of choices also regarding ourselves. Where we think that, oh, I'm not deserving of salvation. I cannot be saved. And if you think that way, you are right. None of us are deserving of salvation. None of us should be saved. But this is the truth. God has loved us even before the foundation of the world. Now, I know sometimes youth or young people, they want to know, right, who are those whom you can say are God's elect? Okay? Who is an elect of God? Is this person an elect of God? Is that person an elect of God? Is that person an elect of God? And the truth is, it's not for us to decide regarding another person. But as far as you are concerned, if you have received the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you have responded to the gospel, if you have believed in Him wholeheartedly, then you know that you are chosen of God. You are God's choice. You are an elect of God. Now, and you may say that, but how will I know for sure? By the fact that you have responded, it shows that you are a child of God, an elect of God. And this is the wonderful thing. God has chosen just according to His own will, according to His own good pleasure, even before the foundation of the world. And one thing that we also realize regarding God's choice, okay, in this truth, when God decrees, is that God's choice is very personal. When God chooses, He chooses a person. He chooses individually before the foundation of the world. Jacob have I loved? Esau have I hated? God does not just choose by saying, okay, this is one group of people that I choose. And like maybe all of those who are surname Yong, because I'm surname Yong. Okay, I will choose, right? I choose all surname Yong. Then I choose one group. Okay, all surname Yong together. Okay? Or I just choose by way of a category. Yeah, I choose all those who are 1.6 and above. Yeah, quite generous, right? 1.6. Anyone below 1.6? Oh, many. Okay, so sorry lah. Tomorrow cannot eat breakfast. Okay, all 1.6 above eat breakfast. 1.6 cannot, right? This is like you choose by category, like that, right? But do you know that God did not choose this way? He says, Jacob have I loved. It's very individual, it's very personal. That means God has you in His mind when He chose you, when He loved you, when He bestowed His promise of salvation upon you. This is God's choice. And it's very humbling because although we do not know how God chooses or what the criteria are, when God chooses, what we know is that when we respond to the gospel, then He has chosen us. And even though we may not understand all the details, right, the intricacies, right, of the workings of God's choice, we know that He has simply chosen us for out of His own good pleasure, out of His love. And that's so wonderful to know that God has chosen you and me, even though we are undeserving. I mean, I'm sure you all play sports. And when I think of how God chooses, this is one thing that always comes to mind. I mean, those of you who play basketball with the YF, now the way we, choose the team, the different teams, okay, we are very fair. Okay, we just do wapiaso. You all know it's wapiaso, right? Okay, if you do not know, then ask your teachers. Okay, so wapiaso, we do wapiaso, and then we just choose the teams. But I remember last time, the way we choose our teams is very different. We choose our teams by appointing two captains, and usually the two best players. And then we choose appoint two captains. Then after that, they will each take turns, okay, to choose one by one those whom they want to be in their team. Okay, and so last time I didn't like to play basketball a lot because I'm always the last one to get chosen. You know, and the last one to get chosen is like, I have no choice, right? I want to choose everyone else. I don't want to choose you, but I have no choice. I need to choose you because you are there and then I've got to put you in my team. Right? So in our life now, we do away with all this because very demoralizing, very discouraging. I'm always the last one to get chosen means actually they don't want me. They have no choice when they choose me. Like that. This is how we would choose because we want to choose the tallest, we want to choose the fastest, we want to choose those who can pass, those who can shoot. We want to choose the best. This is the way we choose. Okay, I know some of you say, hey, choose me, huh? Who is the one? Okay, the top choice. Okay. Oh, Joven. Okay, so you know probably if Jacob and Esau are playing basketball, right? I would choose also Esau, right? Because he's strong, he's fit, he's hunter. Then Jacob is actually, I don't know what Jacob does, you know. The Bible does not say what Jacob does, right? What did he do? Maybe the reason why his mother liked him is because he stayed at home and sold things, right? And then, don't know why Jacob Newton called. I do not know what Jacob, okay, what's Jacob's occupation? Okay, so we do not know, but we know Esau, very fit, very strong. So that's what we will choose. But do you know when God chose you, are you the smartest? Are you really the fastest? Are you really the tallest? Are you really the best person, a good person morally? I mean, you know your heart the best. You know how stubborn you can be. You know how proud you can be. You know how wicked you can be. You know how cunning you can be. You know how deceptive you can be in your heart. You all know all these things. I mean, if you're honest with yourself, right? Those who think that they're very good at basketball included, right? You all know your own heart. Not targeting any single person. Really, really. Okay, but you all know your own heart. You all know who you are. Hey, you all know how wicked you can be. You know, sometimes we think that, oh, when I look at the prisoners, those people who are murderers, those people who are rapists, right? Those people who are psychopaths, they are very scary people. But do you know that actually all of us, because of our sinful nature, can be even worse than them? It's only the difference is that we are just a bit cleverer, right? We are not caught. Okay? Or the difference is that maybe we just are afraid of the law a bit more than them. If there's no law, right? I mean, if there's no law, and I now say you can do whatever you want to do, just even in teens camp, no rules, no lights out, you can do whatever you want to do, what will happen to teens camp? Chaos. Right? All of you will not sleep at night. And then tomorrow, all of you will be so tired and all these things like that. If there are no rules, no laws, then your true colors all come out. You know how frightening that will be. I mean, I think you just look at what is happening in Hong Kong as a very good example. And even though they had law, but now because of the protests and all these things like that, it's totally out of control. I mean, if we are now not controlled, and now we are let loose, let free. I wonder how wicked, how cruel, how terrible people we actually are. You know, there's actually this kind of experiment that was done before, right, where they got certain normal people, okay, to actually role play certain roles. Okay? That was a research that they were doing. They wanted to see, you know, the behavior of men. And what they did was they got a group of people to be prisoners. And then they got a group of people to be the prison guards. Okay, and then they went on playing this role for several weeks and months. Hey, y'all stop talking for a while, okay? Okay, pay attention. Right? I mean, if you want to talk, y'all can talk later, okay, during the break. Right? Because very chattery and very noisy. Alright? Or you have something you want to share with us? Okay? So pay attention. Right, so there was these two groups of people, okay, that was appointed. Okay, one group was the prisoners, and then one group was the prison guards. Okay, and then they played that role for a few weeks. And then suddenly, after a while, the prison guards, they started to become very cruel. They were normal people, so they have their own profession. Some of them may be like bus drivers, some of them may be teachers, some of them may be butchers or things like that, just normal people. But they got them to play this role, and after a few weeks, they got so engrossed in that role, and then they became so cruel in the way they treat the prisoners. And that actually reveals how wicked and how cruel our hearts are. And for all of us, our hearts, I believe, is like that. That's what the Bible actually tells us, how depraved we are. But why has God chosen you? Why has God chosen me? I mean, even the very fact that we are all here, you know, it's by the providence of God, it's by the mercies of God, how the Lord has brought us here, how the Lord brings us under the sound of the gospel, how we receive the Lord Jesus Christ, how God used people in our lives to share with us the good news of salvation and how we are saved. All this is how God loves us so much, how God has chosen us. This is God's decretive will that is determined by His choice and His choice alone. And I wonder, you know, when you know this truth, what does it mean to you? This sometimes when we think of God's decretive will, we think that it's something that's so confusing and so complicated. But if you understand what God's decretive will for you is, that He loves you, He has chosen you even before the foundation of the world, and He has chosen you according to His choice, then you must respond also in love. All we can do is not to say, you know, why God is so unfair, or to start questioning His purposes, or to question His will. But how we should respond is now, Lord, Thou hast loved me, I must first love you. You know, when you look at the example of Jacob and Esau, it was so complicated. Actually, the life of Jacob is really one big mess. His whole life was marked by deception. It was marked by lies, right? He was lying, scheming, plotting, planning. Initially, the first time, he deceived his elder brother of his birthright. When the elder brother, after hunting, was very hungry, then he sold his birthright for a bowl of pottage. So Jacob, you already see, he was very manipulative. Then later on, he, together with his mother, when the father, Isaac, wanted to bestow the blessing of the firstborn upon Esau. Yes, Isaac was wrong. He should have obeyed the law that the elder shall serve the younger. But Jacob and Rebekah, they took matters into their own hands. They should have trusted in the Lord and said that the Lord will work His will. But they took matters into their own hands. They plotted and they deceived even Isaac. You know, right? The mother got Jacob to wear this calf skin so that he would look rough, right? And then the mother was the one to prepare the venison for Jacob, for Isaac. Okay? And then deceived him and then stole the blessing of the firstborn. So when you look at the whole family, it was one big mess. But do you know what happened? The Lord still loved Jacob. And that was the dream which Jacob dreamt here in Genesis chapter 28. When the Lord then appeared to Jacob. And you look at this, I'd like you all to just look at Genesis chapter 28. Okay, Genesis chapter 28 and verse 13. Okay, Genesis chapter 28, now this is Jacob's ladder, right? Where Jacob dreamt, and then there was a ladder in verse 12 that was set on the earth, and the top reached to the heaven, and behold, the angels of God ascended and descended on it. Okay, then in verse 13, behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, thy father, and the God of Isaac. The land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. And in verse 14, thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west, and to the east, and to the north, and to the south. And in thee and thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Verse 15, behold, I am with thee, and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land, for I will not leave thee until I have done which I have spoken to thee of. Now this is very wonderful, because you look at Jacob's life. He has been one big mess. He has been manipulating, he has been lying, he has been deceiving. Yet God now appeared to Jacob and said that, I am the God of your father Abraham. And now he's saying, I'm also your God. And the blessings that I've given to Abraham, I will give it to you. And I will be with you until I fulfill all my purpose in you. That's what God told Jacob. And you know that that's how God deals with us as his children. Where he will never give up on us. He will never leave us. He will never forsake us until he fulfills his purpose in us. And that's so wonderful. The decretive will of God is determined by God's choice, according to his own good pleasure, out of his love, for his own glory. We may not be able to understand why, but the Bible simply just tells us so. And you see how God works in your life, how God is so patient with you, how God molds you, how God shapes you, how God loves you. Will you not respond then also in love? And this leads us to the third thing. Because yes, while we speak of the decretive will of God that is determined before the foundation of the world, and that the decretive will is determined by God's choice, the decretive will of God does not excuse man of his responsibility. Where man has the responsibility in responding to God's purposes, to God's will, and to God's plan for us, man has also his responsibility. Now, in God's verdict, right, in the decretive will of God, even though the Bible says, Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated, in God's verdict, Esau was blamable. Esau was accountable and responsible for his own rejection of God. Okay, now, you may say that, how does these two fit together? Now, when it comes to the decretive will of God, don't try to force these two together. Because the Bible just simply tells us, Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated. And then the Bible also tells us that Esau is responsible, Esau is guilty. And we may say, I don't understand how these two come together. It's not so much for us to understand how these two can be harmonized, because I don't believe that it's God's purpose for us to try to harmonize the two, but it's for us to simply say, I accept. I accept that God has said, Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated. I also accept that God has said that Esau is responsible. So if a sinner rejects God, okay, if a sinner remains stubborn and hardens his heart to God, he is responsible. God is not responsible, even though God has decreed. Now, how do we know God said that Esau was responsible? Because you look at Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 16. Over here, the Bible says here that lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For ye know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. Okay, so now the Bible says here that he despised the birthright that he was entitled to. So this is the meaning of profane. Okay, a profane person is someone who is polluted, someone who is depraved. And this was who Esau was. For one morsel of meat, he sold his birthright. In other words, he actually despised his birthright. He despised the privilege he was entitled to. And the question is, now, who is to be blamed? Whose fault was it? Who is responsible? The Bible says that it's Esau. Esau was responsible for his actions. Even though God has decreed before the foundation of the world, man is still held accountable and man is responsible. I know some struggle with this thought because, you know, when everything ultimately happens, you say that God is glorified. Okay? It is for the Lord's glory. But yet, when man now reveals and exposes his own wickedness, then you say that man is responsible, man is guilty. You may say, doesn't seem fair. But Apostle Paul's reply is, who art thou, O man? What I mentioned this morning, right? You are man, and God is God. And God simply says that, men, we are responsible. In this case, Esau was responsible for rejecting his birthright. And this also tells us one thing. Yes, even though God has decreed. Okay? Another very important truth in understanding that man is responsible also means that we have the responsibility to preach to the lost. Okay? God has decreed those whom he will to be saved. God has determined. But he has also decreed and determined and will to work through you and me in preaching the gospel to the lost. So we also cannot use the excuse. We say that, oh, if God will save his elect, okay, God will save those whom he has chosen, then why do we still have to preach the gospel? Because the Bible tells us that God has ordained also us to preach the gospel to the lost. God has determined to use you and me. So this is the decretive will of God. Now at the end of the day, the decretive will of God, there is an element of mystery to it. Okay, John Calvin says that if you want to press further, okay, why God has decreed so, why God has chosen to love some and reject others, if you want to press further, then he simply said that you will have no answer. There is an element to the there's an element of mystery to the decretive will of God. Reverend Timothy Toh likens it to the inner working of the clock. And where we are unable to understand the mechanisms of it, okay, the inner workings of it. But all we need to do, or all we should do, all the Lord requires us to do, is to read the time and then obey his will. And this is what the phrase, salvation is of the Lord, means. Jonah finally accepted that salvation is of the Lord. He will save whom he chooses to save, whom he wills. Jonah is not to decide, this Nineveh, these people of Nineveh are so wicked, I don't want them to be saved. It's for the Lord to decide. And whether they will be saved or not, is the Lord who will decide. God has decreed before the foundation of the world. That's the decretive will of God. God's decretive will is according to his own choice, for his glory, according to his own good pleasure. But God's decretive will does not excuse men of their responsibility. And this is what the decretive will is. Now I hope that when you all study the decretive will of God, it will lead to an appreciation. We may not be able to understand everything, but the fact that now you are here, you are brought together through God's providence. Now, how you are led to this camp, how you are led to this church, how you are led to salvation, it is all by God's providence. And if you have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, then you know that the Lord is pleased to save you. He has chosen you to be his child. How does that make you feel? You must respond also with thankfulness and love. Don't reject the Lord anymore. And for some, you know, maybe you have not believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, you've not received him. Then think again, why has the Lord brought you under the sound of the gospel? And why do you then want to remain hardened and stubborn in your heart? Would you not respond to him today? Salvation is of the Lord. Let us pray. O Lord, our God, thou art our almighty God. And even before the foundation of the world, thou hast foreordained all things. And O Lord, when we think upon this wonderful doctrine and truth of election, we are amazed, for we see indeed thy great love for undeserving sinners like us. Even before the foundation of the world, thou hast chosen us according to thy own good pleasure, for thy own glory, out of thy love. And O Lord, we know that we have done nothing to deserve so rich and so free a salvation. Yet we know sometimes how we spurn thy love, how we have rejected thy love unto us. O Lord, we have been so foolish and so blind. So, O Lord, as we think upon this wonderful truth of how salvation is of thee, we pray that thou wilt move our hearts to love thee more and more. We want to thank thee again for this camp. We continue to pray for the campers, that thou wilt grant them thy protection and thy safety. Grant them also rest and strength for the rest of the camp, so that they will be able to enjoy the camp and learn many wonderful lessons out of thy word. We want to commit all these things into thy hands, praying in Jesus' name. Amen.